Ezra chapter 3. Ezra 3. Give you a little background on this message. My father gave me a recorded tape about 11 years ago with a message from this, from Ezra chapter 3 and about verse 9 is where we're going to be. I'm going to give you Ezra 3 verse 1 and then we're going to jump to verse 9. And I remember listening to this in his car. We were going somewhere, and he was, "You got to hear this message." And I said, "All right." So we listened to it on tape. I'll tell you how long. It's been 11 years so, 11, 12 years. And I remember listening to it, and I thought, man, it is so good. I said, I can't wait to preach that. Well, I've never preached that. I've never attempted to preach out of Ezra chapter 3 until just the other day I was praying, and God brought that to my remembrance. He just brought it. It's just like, pow, right there was that. This word, and I thought, man, this is going to be a layup. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I just started remembering the message and kind of what it was about and how it was. And I'd kind of already kind of like, you know, it's going to be Wednesday night. Tomorrow's 4th of July. The crowd's going to be a little bit low. It is. So I thought, man, this is just going to be one of them. I don't know if y'all know what a layup to me is, just like an easy. It's going to be easy to lay it up and go to the house, right? And I'd already started thinking about them points and thinking about the message and how it lays right in with America. And I came in today and I run off half a forest by accident off the printer. That copier in there, you got to have like a college degree to run that thing or be Jan or both. She's got both. But I made some copies like 2 or 3 days ago for the flag folding that never came off of it. Everything I've ever tried to print at this church came off today. So I owe the church like $30 worth of print and paper and everything else. Put it on my tab. Y'all don't laugh at nothing. We're going to have a long night tonight. But anyway, so I got in here today and I printed this stuff off. And man, I thought, man, poop, we're out of here. I mean, and I don't ever do that to you. I don't like to. I want to do big stuff for the Lord every time we do it. So I sit there and I'm thinking, oh man, God, you know. And all of a sudden I started reading it again and started preparing again. And I don't even know if I'm going to use those print offs. So that's going to be bad. So God took me. He showed me that. I'm not going to say the man didn't preach it in context, but God showed me something a little bit different in it. All right. Are y'all ready? Do y'all want to learn something? Y'all want to learn something, see something that you maybe haven't seen. Some of you probably have seen it, but let me tell you. Do y'all know the book of Exodus? Do y'all know what that is? Do you know the Bible has two Exoduses? Whoa. You have the book of Exodus, and then you have this time period, Ezra, where Israel is coming back to Jerusalem, back to Judah the second time. After they've been taken into captivity from Babylon, now they're coming back by the, not one big herd, but hundreds of thousands at a time. Amen? And it's no different than the first time, really. They're coming from captivity. They're coming from slavery back to their promised land, but this time they almost lived through, it's like 70 years. 60, 70, 80 years. So some people who lived in Israel who are now coming back in their elder years. Amen? Y'all got it? Y'all seeing it? They left as children, and they're coming back as elder adults. Could you see that kind of pain? Excitement too, though. You know, could you imagine if you've been in captivity your whole life and you get to come back to something that you knew but you didn't know? Are y'all good? I've killed enough time. Ezra chapter 3, are y'all there? Is everybody there? Good, man. I thought it'd take y'all a little bit longer, but y'all are good. Ezra 3:1. And when the seventh month was come, the children of Israel were in the cities. The people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Right, y'all see that? That's what 60, 70, 80 years of captivity will do to you. You hear what I just said? You know what I think sometimes we need to do as a church, and as not just a church, but as believers, is sometimes deprive ourselves of stuff that we do continuously. You know what I mean? Stuff that we take for granted. You know what I mean? If we held out for a week or two and didn't worship, or held out for a week or two and didn't teach or preach, and held out for a week or two, and then that third week and we come in here and said, hey, all right, let's sing to the Lord. I bet that third week we'd be like, praise God. Or that's a, hey, we're going to get a word. We'd be like, it's about time. Come on with it. Are y'all good? Do you understand? Here they are. They were warned over and over and over and over. And finally, God said, I'm not warning anymore. I'm taking you. And now here they are. They come back to Jerusalem, and they said, let's get it together. They come to Jerusalem. They come to where the Temple Mount is, and they come as, listen, everybody, thousands of people. And God said they come as one person. Man, if you really want to know if the church, how the church can get on page, if we ever get on one mind and one accord as a church, there ain't nothing to stop you. And that one mind and one accord is focusing on Christ and His mission for your church. Man, you're unstoppable. The problem is when everybody gets looking in all the different directions and we try to do a thousand different things or a million different things and we don't do the one main thing. Y'all good? Jump down to 9 with me, y'all good? This is going to be so... I'm going to explain to you the different levels of where God moved on this just in the last day or so for me. Then stood Jeshua. Are y'all there? Then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren at Kadmiel, and his sons and the sons of Judah together, and set forward the workmen in the house of God and the sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren and the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temples of the Lord, they set the priest in their apparel with the trumpets. That's Mosaic. And the Levites and the sons of Asaph with the cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. Now, you have Moses here and David here. You have the Levitical priest. They're decked out in their robes. And you have the people that are worshiping. And they are making a grand entrance, because they have laid the foundation of the temple again. Amen? And they are amazed. They're blown away. They're excited. They're excited about having somewhere to worship God. I hope we stay excited because we have a place to worship God. As a country, sometimes we can get caught up, and I think it was Scott who said, you know, it's a bad country, it's a messed up country. We've went a long way in the wrong direction. We have, but praise God, we do have a lot of freedoms that other people in the world would be like, I'll take that today. I'll trade with you any day. You know what I'm saying? So we need to realize this. And these people come out of captivity, and they were looking at the foundation of the temple. They were excited. I want to talk about who all were there in a minute, but listen to this. In verse 10, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priest, we got that part, in verse 11, and they sang together by the chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. Have y'all ever heard that before? Because He is good and His mercy endureth forever. Do you know that's like a modern worship song? For God is good and His mercy endureth forever. Man, you can remake that in any way you want to. Just about every generation remakes that. They were singing that back then. Amen? For God is and His mercy endureth. Listen to what they were saying. These are people who were taken in captivity and were slaves. And they could have gotten, they were like, man, God is good. Yeah, you might want to write this down and think about it. God's better to you when you have a little than when you have a lot. God's better to you when you go, and I don't mean just when you think like that, I think monetarily, but I want you to think when you're hurting and when you're low and when you think, man, I ain't got nobody. God's like, no, you got somebody. Amen? I mean, I love preaching about this because they took Israel, they took the people, the Jewish people, they took them out of Jerusalem, they took them into captivity, but they did not remove God from them. Whew. Aren't you glad of that? I mean, you can take our stuff. You can take our religious stuff. You can take that, but you can't take God away. Matter of fact, when you think you've destroyed God or got rid of God or stomped out God, that's when God is really working, bigger than any other time. When you persecute God, ridicule God, stomp God out, let's just go ahead and go there. When you crucify God, God says, you're making a mistake, devil. You're making a mistake, world. If you think you're getting rid of me, that's when I really shine. When it's the darkest, or when it's the time when you don't think I'm going to, that's really when I'm going to. And sometimes I don't you ever desire, do you ever get to that place sometimes? You don't want to be in a bad spot. I don't like to be in health issues. I don't like to have, you know, financial issues. I don't like to have issues where, you know, I'm having trouble on every side with people. But praise God, I know sometimes when I'm there, I draw closer to God a lot of times. And sometimes when I'm doing well, I find myself complaining a little bit more and just rolling along and just whining, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not talking to God half as much. But the minute we start hitting hey, Lord, hey, where you at? Amen. But I want y'all to see that. I wanted to just to feel that right there. Israel and all the people shout. Now let's read the whole verse 11 again. And they sat together by the course in praising and giving thanks to the Lord because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout. Ain't that cool? Don't wait to get to heaven to shout. I'm going to say that again. Don't wait to get to heaven to shout. Amen? Everybody said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to shout and I'm going to praise. I'm gonna, what are you waiting on? You saved now, ain't you? Going to heaven now, ain't you? You might want to get a little practice before you get up there. I mean, you might not know how to come out, you know? And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Man, they got excited. Could you imagine? They got excited on the foundation. They were like, man, I think they get it like this. If you really get down to it, if we got a foundation, we got somewhere to stay. Amen? Because if you get a foundation, we can rock all the way. The foundation is Christ Jesus. Amen? He's the cornerstone. You get your foundation, your faith. You can't get shook no lower than that. But they started. And I like pretty much, it's good to start. It's better to finish, but it's good to start, ain't it? Praise God, it's good to start. And they were starting, and they were shouting. Man, could you imagine if the church shouted? The whole church, not just one person, not just one excited person, and not because somebody says to shout. God, sometimes I get mad at myself because I'm like, man, somebody should have said amen. Somebody should. And I, you know what? That's just how I feel. But praise God, could you imagine if thousands of hundreds of thousands of people just had a shout inside of them? And as soon as they got a magnitude of, hey, that's God's built, and that's where God, and that's where we're going to worship God, and they couldn't help themselves, and they began to shout. Man, I don't know if there's a couple places I want to be in the Bible and see what happened, but I'd like to have been there. Hey, man, could you imagine I think it's a different kind of shout than we think. I think it's a heart shout. Have you ever been in a service when somebody shouted or screamed or praised and it was different than you? You're like, whoa, that's a whole different level. I remember we went to a play. It was 11th Avenue Baptist Church. We went to a play, and they were doing the scene where they were bringing the body of the boy they were carrying to the tomb, to the grave, and the mother was with him. Oh, my gosh. And all of a sudden, they did that react where Jesus said, set down the casket, and he raised the boy from the dead. And the woman that was playing his mother, whew, it got on. I mean, it was like, I don't know if it connected, like, hey, that would have been my son. She started praising God. And you could tell it wasn't scripted because everybody that was in the play was like, and she was screaming and praising. But then everybody in the audience began to scream and praise. And as they were going out, this auditorium shaped like a, you know, like a shell, like a seashell that goes up. And she praised all the way out. And every few minutes out in the lobby, you could hear her going, praise God! Praise God! And I mean, man, the play was over. You know, I mean, they just had to stop. Because somebody had really got a hold of God. Man, I still remember that. This, you know, and there's been times in services. There's been times when we've been preaching. But there's been times when we've been in church where you get when somebody really hooks up with God. And it's just that you don't even have to, don't worry about that one. That's God. Amen? But could you imagine a whole nation who just couldn't stop? They just couldn't help themselves. I hope one day we get there, don't you? Not because I don't want nobody to run down into Saudi days and go, man, they're up there, they all shouted at one. I just would love to, I would like God to go, man, my kids got overwhelmed. And they just could not help themselves. Amen? Maybe when we get that new building open. I'm just kidding. Set y'all up for that one. I'm sorry. Listen to this. Verse 12. And the at the end of 11, it says, the Lord was laid, and that was laid. All right. Verse 12. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, that had seen the first house. Do y'all know what I'm talking about now? When the foundation of the house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. Did y'all get it? You see what had happened? There were some older people there that had seen the original temple. The one that was laid with gold, the one that Solomon had built. It had been laid with gold. This one was made with lesser materials, wood, brass. That one had been made, I mean, it was almost laid practically with gold. They said when the sun shined on the temple that Solomon had made, it would glisten. And it was like, wow. And what they did is they had stood up and they had seen that even when they were kids. I guarantee you, the whole time they were in captivity, they were thinking, man, I can't wait to get back home and see that temple. You know what I mean? But they got home. And guess what? The temple had been torn down, and guess what? They were building it back with inferior materials, but it was being built back. So, see, this is how I got the message. And this is kind of, man, it kind of worked against me. Because what that man did, he took a lot of the presidents of the United States, hard word to figure out, the presidents of the United States from the beginning and the middle and the end, and talked about how they, hey, would make spiritual quotes or quotes about Christ. And man, they were some good ones. George Washington. If I could tell you stuff about George Washington, they say, do you know how everybody could recognize George Washington if he was in a room full of delegates, full of people? If they went to pray and they could tell George Washington from anybody else, you know why? He would get on his hands and knees and pray. That's the first president, right? And there were so many other presidents who had made spiritual commentators. I mean, talking about, you can't lead a country and not worship God. You can't lead a country and not read the Word of God. And I was sitting there going, man, yes, this is going to be. And then I got to mind Ronald Reagan. I love Ronald Reagan. I mean, Ronald Reagan, he's got more quotes about serving God. Conservative. And then I was going to wrap it up with the last president we had, who said, I don't know what we were, but we are no longer a Christian nation. And I was like, man, then I'll just have to drop the microphone and walk out because we're done, right? Because I thought, man, that would tell us, see, that's how good, the good was good, the old was good, and the new is not as good. Woo! That was, man, I think we'd had one generation walking out of here with your chest poked down, yeah. And then the next generation, my middle generation, and the younger generation, like, we just didn't get as good as they had it. And God flipped that thing for me. He just totally flipped this message. I could just take that and tear it up, throw it away, because God done something different in my heart. You know what he said? He said the reason they were crying was not because the temple was better. It's because the temple was better, and they wasted their time on doing the things that God told them not to do, and they lost the temple. Woo! Now that hurts a lot worse, because we can all do this, because I can do it. Because I can go back to Ronald Reagan, because he's a president. I remember him bombing Omar Gaddafi. I remember the song on US 101. I love that. I do. But guess what? Praise God, from that time to this time, guess who did a lot of stuff that ruined this country? This guy right here. I say stuff like this. You don't even know what it's like to grow up as a kid. I'd ride my bike all the day. I wouldn't even go in the house. I drank out of the water hose. I ran down the road with my friends all day. Played in the woods all day. Kids don't even know what to be kid. Man, it's dangerous to be a kid. You know whose fault that is? I played a role in that. Do you know, can I tell you another one? Leadership, leaders, are a direct representative of the people. Whew. Ouch. Man. So when we started thinking, I started thinking, man, this generation needs to hear. We had great leaders who trusted God and loved God and put their trust in God, and now we don't have those kind of leaders. You know why we don't have those kind of leaders? It's because the church, somewhere in the midst of that, somewhere in the midst of our walk, what we did is we made it about rules and don't do this and don't do that, and we got worrying about each other, and we let a world go lost and dying down a path that some of us helped pave. And that hurts, because I would have liked to come in here and read you some quotes and felt good about the good old days. And left here, and y'all been like, man, the good old days, I wish we could go back. But I want to say this. I want to say, man, God, I'm sorry from where I fell short and didn't continue to reach out for people during my time. Amen? And God, with whatever time I got left, amen? Because he showed me something. The people that had seen this temple, that had the foundation of this temple with lesser materials, they had never had one. Let somebody have something that you've had less than. Oh, have you ever met somebody that ain't never had a nice pair of shoes? Or ain't never lived in a nice house? Or ain't never had the clothes you've got or the toys? Let's break it all the way down. Yeah, I can't. I'm simple. And y'all just pray for me. My neighbor kept his dad and his, they had cool toys. We didn't. We had bicycles and a dump truck. The dump truck was cool. Anyway, he had Star Wars. Not Star Wars, that old Star Wars. You know, he had the Millennium Falcon. He had all the stuff. So if it was a rainy day or something like that, first thing, let's go to his house. He goes, we'll go to your house, you go to my house. Your house. Why? Because you got all the cool toys. Amen? And we get over there, and he goes, man, I'm dumb. I'm terrible. I'm like, no, 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 no. You can go downstairs. You can go get you a little Debbie. You can go get you a Star Crunch. Some of y'all don't know what that is, but I like them. Get you a Star Crunch. I'll be right up here. They'd have to go, hey, your mama's calling. You need to go home. All right. And I might have one of them little Obi-Wan Kenobis tucked away in my jean pocket there. You got my Obi-Wan Kenobi? Well, maybe I do, you know. Because, you know, we take it for granted. But these people, for the first time in their life, they had never had a temple. They grew up in slavery. They grew up in bondage. They grew up being a slave. And when God set them free, man, they seen the foundation of the temple and they looked, this is amazing! We're going to have a place to worship! And you know what? Don't get upset with them. Get into worship with them. Hey, man, don't get upset with them. I feel like I'm preaching. Don't tell them how great it was and how bad this is. Say, this is what we got. Let's do something with it. Let's do something with it. Instead of going back, and you can tell them, man, back in the 80s, back in the 70s, it was good. Praise God. We had a lot more freedom. We could do a lot more things. And, man, there wasn't as much junk going on. But praise God, I'm glad I'm still alive for the 2000s. I'm glad that God still got me here now. If he'll use me now, I'll be used now. Amen? Stop. We can look at it and we can say, man, this ain't as good as it was when I was growing up. Or we can say, it is what it is. We need to do it. We need to do it while we can. I want to give you this. I want y'all to see it. Verse 13. So that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Did you hear that? They were praising and shouting. And there were some people in there who were weeping and crying because their hearts were broken. But they couldn't discern it. They couldn't hear it. And so, you know, and I think that's all right. When I first got this message, I really didn't want to go there because that's a whole lot harder. What we did tonight's a whole lot harder. But I want you to see it. That's the way God sees it. Be heartbroken over where we failed. Be heartbroken over what we could have done. But guess what? Worship of what we're at today. And the last point I want to make tonight, the very last point I want you to make, listen, what do we do now? What do we do now? Get together, worship, seek the Lord, and try to change the whole world from where we're at today. Amen? From where we're at. That's what we do. It don't matter if old school is better. It don't matter if this is not what it used to be. And it doesn't matter if everybody's excited. If everybody's leaning in one direction, guess what we do now? Let's get to work. Let's do it. Amen? Let's come in here and worship like crazy. Let's come in here and seek the Lord. And when He lets us cut out through them doors, let's go out of here and say, we're going to reach the whole world. And I know what I think when I read this. Some of y'all say, well, this is Ezra. This is the Old Testament, Kevin. I still think there's a remnant in every church group. I believe there's a remnant of every church age. I believe we can be a church who goes against the trend of just a watered down, not hot, not cold, somebody. Because praise God, if we want Jesus and we want to share the gospel and we want to be on fire for God, there ain't nothing stopping us except us. I don't know how much time I got left on this earth. I don't even care. But what I do want to say is when I get done, I want to say, man, I want to get every drop out of the jar of my life. Amen. I don't want to leave not one little thing left in the jar. I want to be spent for God. I want to be able to, when I come in this, man, you didn't have a whole lot of talent. You didn't have a whole lot of ability. You weren't the smartest. You weren't the best. But praise God, I got a lot out of you. Has anybody ever went to the bottom of a jar on peanut butter? Have you ever been that poor where you had peanut butter and crackers? And man, you was doing everything you could to get the peanut butter out of there. Man, that's what I'm talking about. You just get in there like, some of y'all can go home eating peanut butter and crackers tonight. I hope so. Drink you a big old glass of milk with it too. But anyway, what I want y'all to do is look. I seen this, and man, I wanted to come in here and preach to you. I was like, man, I'm going to lay this thing up, man. I'm going to read you some quotes from George Washington. I'm Abraham Lincoln. Amen. I'm going to lay that thing, man, Ronald Reagan's going to knock it out of the park, and then I'm going to give you Barack Obama, you know, and then y'all go out here and go, this generation, cool, right? But you know what? That ain't it. That ain't what it is. I look back, man, I was thinking, you know, looking back in my childhood, I think, man, you know, why is pornography so bad right now? Why is drugs so bad? You know why? Because I played a role in it. I did. I played a role in it. Everything you put through in this life that's towards this world goes right there. Guess what? I'm preaching and ministering against the stuff that I helped put in place. Amen? So I can't argue too much about it. I can't say, well, that church ain't, you know, that's because I played a role in it. So all I can do now is work from where I'm at. That's all we can do is work from where. Let's all stand. We'll keep you. Hey, I won't.